thinking about this evening, so we can begin by turning in the Old Testament to Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and then we'll have three more short readings from the New Testament. Again, we're continuing in our series on the office of elder, and this evening we'll be thinking about the duties of the elder. So again, let's carefully hear the word of God, Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his namesake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we'll read verses 11 through 18, and very clearly our Lord had that psalm in mind when he spoke these words and gave himself the title of the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am a good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them in also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. Now turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, reading verses 25 through 32. Paul is addressing the Ephesian elders. He has pastored the flock with them, but now he is leaving and he is entrusting the flock to the care of these elders. Again, beginning in verse 25. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Now, one more brief reading from 1 Peter chapter 5, the first five verses. 1 Peter chapter 5 and the first five verses. Again, this time is Peter speaking, and he is exhorting elders. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Amen. Let's pray briefly. Our Father and our God, we again call upon you, confessing our great need for your help as we seek to worship you, as we seek to listen to your word and give our ear to it. Lord, we are slow to hear. We are a people of great distraction, and so we pray that your Spirit would work by and with the Word to lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, to instruct us in the way, to teach us how we might glorify and enjoy you. And so we ask now for the blessing on this, the proclamation of your Word. We pray that your Spirit would work mightily in it. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. We are seeking to prepare ourselves as a congregation for an election of elders sometime within the next month or 2 months. And our aim in this study is to consider passages of Scripture that will help us as we think and pray about whom God would have us appoint to this office. Last Lord's Day, we thought about the importance of the office of elder. We saw that it is an ancient office that is ordained by God Himself. It is an office in which men are consecrated or set apart by the laying on of hands. It's an office with qualifications and authority, and an office in which the elder will be held accountable to God Himself. And this evening, we want to move on and think about the duties of the elder. In other words, what is an elder called to do? And we can summarize the duties of the elder in just one term. There is one term that the Scriptures use to encapsulate the duties of the elder, and it is the term shepherding. We read it in that last passage from 1 Peter chapter 5, where Peter exhorts the elders, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. And so this is the duty of the shepherd. The duty of the elder is to shepherd. And some of you may be well aware, I know at least one who's a Latin teacher here knows this, that the Latin word for shepherd is pastor. And so there are usually in the church one or two men that are typically called the pastor. But this pastoring element of the eldership goes beyond just the one or two teaching elders. The elders, together with the pastor, are the shepherds of the flock. The church in the Bible is described as a flock and the elders as shepherds. Now, there are some important qualifying statements that have to be made at this point that we need to keep in mind as we hear this sermon. First of all, in the truest sense of the word, there is only one shepherd of the flock. We read that in John 10, where Jesus himself said, "There is one flock, there is one shepherd." The Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He alone purchased his church with his own blood. He owns the flock. He loves the flock. He alone shepherds us perfectly. And secondly, and related to this, elders in the church are mere under-shepherds. In other words, elders are sheep themselves. We are subject to the same sinful tendencies and weaknesses as the rest of the flock. And thirdly, as I preach this sermon, I want to be heard in the right way. As we examine these duties, I want to be clear that in no way do I think that I have attained to these duties that we will be thinking about. And I think that I can safely speak for the other elders among us when I say that we know that we do not carry out these duties perfectly. We know that we fail often and we are confronted on a consistent basis with our weaknesses. But yet we do not want to let our failures and our shortcomings keep us from proclaiming what the Bible teaches regarding the duties of the elder. And so, hear these words coming from a humble preacher, a humble session that loves you, but yet who knows that we fall short of the mark. We know that Christ is the chief shepherd, and we simply carry out our duties in humble reliance on Him with a desire to be more like Him in our care of the church. Now, when the Bible speaks of shepherding, it has in mind the image of an ancient Eastern shepherd. And I have a quote at the top of your outline there by a man named Derek Tibball. He wrote a book called Skillful Shepherds, and he makes this helpful comment regarding the biblical idea of shepherding. He says the whole image of a Palestinian shepherd is characterized by intimacy, tenderness, concern, skill, hard work, suffering, and love. It is a subtle blend of authority and care, and as much toughness as tenderness, as much courage as comfort. And so, in short, the elder is called to bring Christ's strong and tender shepherding to the church. And this is the image that we want to keep in mind as we think about the duties of the elder as a shepherd. And so we'll think about four of these duties this evening. This is by no means a complete list. But we see, first of all, as a shepherd, that the elder leads. Now, in the ancient world, sheep were not driven by a taskmaster shepherd who was behind them, whipping them and pushing them. Rather, the Eastern shepherd led the sheep. The shepherd went first, and the sheep followed. And again, Christ is the model shepherd. He is the chief shepherd. He is the ultimate leader. And so it is to Him that we must look to understand what it means to lead the flock. David in Psalm 23, speaking of Christ, says this, and listen for the clear language of leading and how the picture is of the shepherd out in front of the sheep. He says of the good shepherd, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me." And so there the shepherd is pictured making the sheep to lie down, leading the sheep, being with the sheep. And so the shepherd leads. He goes ahead of the sheep and leads them. Now, if you just glance at your outline for a second, and I want to point out that leading the sheep involves the final three points that we will consider. In other words, leading the sheep involves feeding them, leading them to the food of Christ, the bread of life. Leading the sheep involves protecting the sheep from danger. Leading the sheep involves restoring the sheep when they go astray. And so keep that in mind. Leading the flock involves all of these things. But what I want us to specifically consider under this point is that the elder is to lead by example. The elder doesn't lead by a great show of authority. The elder doesn't bully the flock or intimidate the flock. The elder's leadership is never tyrannical or domineering. The flock in the end is not the elder's flock. It is Christ's flock. And it is a flock that the elder is part of himself as a sheep. And understanding this should produce a humble and gentle and yet strong leadership of the flock. In 1 Peter 5, verse 3, elders are called to shepherd the flock, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. The elder is to be an example. This is how he is to lead. The elder is to be a pattern for the flock to follow. A pattern of godliness, a pattern of Christ-likeness. From how he behaves in public worship, to how he behaves in his home or in his job or in public, the elder is to be an example. The elder's love for the Lord, his love for his wife and his children, his love for the people of God, even how the elder handles sin in his own life. All of these are to be examples to the flock. And we know that no mere man is a perfect example, that Christ is the only perfect example. But yet, for those of you men who are considering a calling to this office of elder, and for those of us who are currently serving as elders, the question that we must put honestly to ourselves is, am I an example? In my Christian walk, the places that I am going or not going, whether it be thought or attitude or word or deed, those places that I am going or not going, are those places that the sheep can follow me
without being harmed. Can they follow me without coming into danger? The elder leads by example. But another duty of the elder and another way in which he leads is that the elder feeds. It is the responsibility of the elder to make sure that the sheep are well fed. In Psalm 23, in the first verse, we read of this language of feeding. The good shepherd makes the sheep lie down in green pastures. He leads them beside still waters. And green pastures and still waters represent the food that the sheep need. The elder leads the sheep to food. Now, the main course of food for the sheep comes primarily from the pulpit, from the elders who have been called to the full-time teaching ministry of the Word. But even that food is not outside the authority of the ruling elder. Because the ruling elder is to make sure that food from the pulpit is pure and suitable to the congregation. The ruling elder is to listen to the preaching of the Word carefully and discerningly, making sure that the pure truth of God's Word is being preached. Making sure that what is being preached is understandable to the congregation. Making sure that it's, on the one hand, not too elementary, and on the other hand, that the preacher is not preaching over the heads of the congregation. And in fact, this very series on the office of elder came from a request from your elders because they felt that this is what you as the congregation needed in preparation for the election. Now, elders also feed the flock in their counsel and guidance to the people. The elder is to bring the scriptures to bear on the varied situations that individuals and families face. And this is why one of the qualifications in the Bible for the office of elder is that the man be able to teach. The elder's job is to bring Christ and his gospel to you. Paul said to the Corinthians that when he was with them, that he resolved to know nothing among them except Christ and Him crucified. And what Paul meant by that was that whatever problem or issue that he faced in the church, whether it was a problem with someone's marriage, a problem with sexual sin or worldliness or selfishness, whatever it was, that he was going to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to bear on that situation. And that is what the elder is to do. The elder feeds the flock with Christ, the bread of life. Thirdly, another duty of the elder, and again another way in which he leads, is that the elder protects. The church faces constant danger in this world. In Psalm 23, verse 4, David spoke of Christ's protection. He said, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." We've talked about this before in a sermon on Psalm 23, but these are not two terms describing the same thing. The rod and the staff were two separate implements of the shepherd. The rod was the shepherd's weapon. He used it to fend off predators, to kill them if necessary, to defend the sheep. And his staff was used to bring back sheep who had wandered off. And in Acts 20, verses 29 to 30, Paul clearly warns the Ephesians elders and elders in every age of the church that there is going to be danger that comes from outside, and there is going to be danger that arises from the inside. He says this, "I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them." Paul says that fierce wolves will attack from the outside, and people will rise up from among the church, teaching false doctrine and leading people astray. And this means that the elder must be alert. The elder must be vigilant and watchful for these dangers to the flock. Elders must be discerning whom they admit into the flock. Elders must watch for false doctrine and for those who would divide the flock. Elders must protect sheep that are a danger to themselves. Sheep will go astray, and sometimes the hard choice to discipline the sheep will be necessary. This protection involves vigilance and care. And when danger is encountered, it takes courage and strength to deal with the threat. And it will often involve great personal cost, great heartache, great stress. Sheep may end up hating you. Friendships may be destroyed. But yet the elder is to protect the flock. And we could add to this protective duty the preventative protection of elder visitation and of the preaching of the word. Those preventative measures form a fence around the sheep, decreasing the likelihood that they will fall into danger. Now, lastly, and again related to all of these other duties, is that the elder restores. Sheep go astray. If you know anything about sheep, it's just what they do. We are sinners, and that's why we are called sheep. It's not a flattering title. It's not necessarily a nice title, but yet it is an accurate title. We are sinners. We stray from Christ our Master, and so restoration is necessary. And this restorative duty overlaps with the previous three duties we have thought about already. The elder, first of all, leads, and part of his leadership is that he brings stray sheep and leads them back into the fold. The elder feeds, and part of his feeding is that he restores the sheep to the green pastures and the still waters of the church. He brings the flock back into the means of grace. The elder protects, and part of that protection is that he restores sheep with the comfort of Christ's forgiveness when they have repented. Again, in Psalm 23, David says of Christ, "He restores my soul." Jesus said in the parable of the lost sheep, "If a man has 100 sheep and one of them has gone astray, does he not leave the 99 on the mountains and go in search of that one went astray?" And so part of the elder's duty is to restore wandering, sinning sheep. We know that Christ, the Good Shepherd, never gets fed up with his sheep. He never writes off his sheep and says, I am done with you. And nor can the elder. Erring sheep must be dealt with patiently and tenderly and lovingly and yet firmly. Jesus said of the one lost sheep that was found, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And even in the rare, hard cases where church discipline is necessary, even in that extreme measure, the aim is still restoration, forgiveness of sin, the bringing back of a stray sheep into the flock. And so these are some of the duties of the elder that we should keep before us. The elder leads the flock. He feeds the flock with Christ himself. He protects the flock from danger and he restores wandering sheep. And every elder will fail in these duties. He will fall short. But our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is that we operate in the power and the strength of the chief shepherd and of his Spirit. And so again, my plea to you, as it was last week, is to pray. Pray for your current elders, that Christ and his Spirit would strengthen us and equip us that we might be faithful to our duties. Pray for the men who are contemplating a calling to this office, that the Lord would equip them and lead them, and the Lord would make his will clear through the election of these officers. And in all of that, that the chief shepherd, the Lord Jesus, would have the glory. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that he is the one shepherd of the flock, and it is to him that we must look. And Lord, we do ask for your forgiveness, for we know that as elders we have failed at our duties. We have fallen short. And so we pray that you would forgive us, that you would strengthen us for the tasks that are ahead of us. We pray for the men that you are calling to this office, Lord, that you would be equipping them, that you would be teaching them, that you would bestow upon them the necessary gifts and graces for this high office of elder. And we pray that in all of this, that Christ, the chief shepherd, would be glorified, that his church would be governed in submission to him. We pray this in the great name of Christ and for his glory. Amen.